everyone. It's episode 10 of the Press Play on Tape podcast, 2016. I'm one of your hosts for the show. It's Daz. And with me, as usual, I have my compadre, Mr. Alex Boz, Oz Retro Gamer. How you doing, man?
I'm doing fantastic, Daz. Happy New Year to you and to everyone that's listening to this podcast.
Yes.
And yeah, man, episode 10. How's January that? 2016. Yeah, I know it's nice and warm. Well, it's warm here, but I don't know how it is overseas. It's probably bitter cold. But I'm kicking back here with shorts, t-shirt, you know, cold drink. Feels good talking to you, Daz. And I have to say, man, you sound fantastic with the new microphone.
Oh, do I?
Oh, yeah, baby.
Would you like me to bounce my sack on the mic?
Oh, dear. All right.
Well, you asked for it.
You know what? I did ask for the sack to come into it. So hashtag Sackgate has pervaded the Press Play on Tape podcast for 2016.
Yes.
First episode of 2016. You're unbelievable,
there
Daz.
You go. And guess who's bouncing on my sack? Our guest tonight, Kassa from the Retro Domination podcast.
Hey. Wow. Man. All right. I'll see you guys later. Thanks for having me on. Talk to you guys next time.
Ouch.
I feel like I should be like kind of like sitting in the corner, you know, like on a stool, kind of just observing.
Yeah.
But yeah, man, thank you guys again for having me on.
That's no worries.
It's great to have you on, dude, as usual. And yeah, happy new year to you too. And yeah,
man.
So, you've had some time off and relaxed.
Of course, mate. Nice and relaxed, refreshed. 3 weeks into 2016 and already run ragged. So what are you going to do?
We all are, man.
Yeah, I know. Bloody life. Real life in the way of...
Exactly.
Bastards.
Exactly.
Okay. Well, same because we've got Mark on again. We thought we'll actually dedicate one episode to the Commodore 64. I know we always splice in C64 everywhere throughout our episodes. There's always a mention of it, but we haven't actually dedicated one solid episode to it. And
I know when you said, Daz, when you said to me we're going to do one on the Commodore 64, man, I was like a little kid. I was rapt. So thank you.
Oh, Daz. Of course, man. No, well, you know, you always have to start off with the best system at the end of the year.
Yeah.
You know.
I reckon we start every year with the Commodore 64.
Yeah, we'll just rinse and repeat.
Absolutely.
But Mark can be on it as well every time, but he has to change his name.
Yeah, exactly. Well, next year I'll do it backwards and then we'll flip, you know, K and R around and stuff like that. So
Sparky the Bison.
Well, yeah. Well, you're already Mark Kassa from Retro Domination with a M, aren't you?
Exactly, yeah.
All right, he's a nasty pasties.
Yeah. All I can say to everyone that's listening is Daz tried to get on Twitter again and he already fucked everything up. So
I failed miserably.
You failed big time. So hashtag fail Twitter, hashtag Sackgate. Mate, we've got them all. So what a way to start the new year.
Well, there you go. At least I'm, you know... giving Twitter a fair go. I'm trying.
And I'm being an absolute bastard, man.
You're nasty. You're a nasty pasty.
You actually called me a monster, and I thought, you know what? You're right.
Yeah. No, that was Mark initially.
Oh, was it? Oh, yeah. Mark called you a monster or me? Yeah.
Oh, did I spell that right?
He might have. Who knows?
Oh, shit. All right, I think we're already... This tangent's ridiculous. This is sounding like the Retro Domination podcast.
I was going to say, it's the RD effect.
Yeah. our main topic will be the Commodore 64. But before we get into the actual main topic or the introduction to the computer and how it started, just a quick shout-out to Sam Dyer. He's released his second edition of the Commodore 64 book. So, obviously he's released a second edition because the Amiga one and the Speccy one were really thick books, and initially the C64 version 1 was probably half the size. So he thought he didn't give it enough love, I guess, the first time. You know what I mean? It does deserve more love. So he's created could say the second half of the book. And the Kickstarter's already succeeded, so which is awesome news.
Already? Well, yes. That just speaks volumes of what great products Sam actually produces with Bitmap Books. I got the first one, and I know he threw in the Armalite Premium Edition disc, and I was absolutely wrapped. And I actually love the first book, and if there's going to be a part two, which there is, it sounds it's going to be even better, so can't wait.
Yeah, I was actually lucky to get Early Bird, so I've got it £5 cheaper. But that's sold out now. But still, it's £25, but it's worth it. You get a slipcase with it, so you can fit the other book in there. And,
oh, wow.
Yeah, and it's great. You can also, if you don't have the first book, you can buy them together as well. So, good on you, Sam. I love your work, and
absolutely, we are huge fans.
It's great quality. I've also got the Amiga one, and that's kick-ass. I'm yet to get the Spectrum one, but when funds allow, I will get that.
I'm still waiting for the ST one. So, sorry, I didn't go for the Amiga because I'm an ST fan. Nothing to do with, the fact that, about the book, but it was the content. Amiga, sorry. If it was ST, definitely I'm there.
Yeah, but I don't think I don't think the Kickstarter would succeed.
It will succeed within a day, mate. Don't you worry about that. There are enough ST supporters out there. Trust me. Or you know what? I'll just buy them all.
you know how to succeed? Maybe if you do, if it's a Atari ST and Amstrad CPC book together. That might pass.
Taz, come on, man.
I'm nasty. Hey, I'm only joking, people.
You're a monster.
I am. I'm a monster. Payback, mate.
Payback's a bitch, man. Payback's a bitch.
Woods.
Oh, dear God.
Whoops, yeah. Okay. Personal joke, yeah. I guess
back on the main topic.
Yes, back on the main topic because we're wasting time talking about.
So where are we at, mate? Brief history on the Commodore 64.
That's right. So take it away.
Oh yes. Well, we won't delve too much into the history, but after the success of the VIC-20, MOS Technologies, which was Commodore's integrated circuit design subsidiary, started to create the next generation graphics and audio chips, namely the VIC-2. Video integrated circuit chip and the SID, sound interface device chip, back in November 1981. And would you believe, right, is that in November 1981, Jack Tramiel actually told his development group that they actually had 2 months to create the Commodore 64, which at that point in time was the VIC-40, right, to be ready for the January CES show. So they literally had, less than 2 months to actually create the Commodore 64. And the other thing he said to them was, I don't want 64 kilobytes, right? So that's why it was renamed to the Commodore 64.
And that was a lot back in the day.
Absolutely. And look, Jack Tramiel being the way he is that apparently the dynamic random access memory, the DRAM chips actually were over $100. At the time, but he knew that the DRAM prices were falling, and that's why he wanted to go one up. Instead of having a 40 kilobyte computer, he went with the 64. Very, very smart move, and obviously with hindsight, it was, and it still is, the world's best-selling computer. I think it sold between 10 to 17 million. I reckon it was over 20 million, but who's counting? But yeah, man, obviously, you had Bob Russell involved. He was the architect of the VIC-20. Bob Yanes, who created SID.
He was a magician, that man.
He was. I know he went on with Ensoniq and stuff, but the guy was just, the SID chip, we're talking about it, 34 years later, and it's still a memorable piece of circuitry. It's amazing. You had Al Charpentier, who designed the VIC-2 video chip, and Charles Winterbull, who was a manager of the MOS technology. And they're the ones that actually went to Jack Tramiel and proposed, a successor to the VIC-20, because the VIC-20 actually did well, and Commodore wanted, the next big thing, and they got it with the Commodore 64. But the fact that they had to have it ready by the first weekend of January, so it was actually less than 2 months, what am I talking about? It had to be ready by the first weekend of January of 1982, right? And it was such a success, and the guys, I know if you read Brian Bagnell's book, Commodore Company on the Edge, which I know you've read, Daz.
Excellent book.
Yeah, there's actually a chapter there about the Commodore 64 where these guys actually literally worked. I don't even think they had breaks. They were putting the computer together and they had to get it done, obviously, well before the first weekend of January to actually get the molds done, to get the circuit boards printed and done so they could actually get something to the CES show. And, and it was an absolute hit. And then 8 months down the track in August, it was released. So to much fanfare, but for those technically minded, the Commodore 64... Right, it's got the Commodore Basic 2.0. GIOS was optional. The CPU had a MOS technology 6510 or 8500. The NTSC version ran just a tad faster than the PAL version at 1023 megahertz and 0.98 on the PAL one.
Can I just interject there? But the NTSC version actually doesn't run as smooth, I've been told.
I haven't experienced an NTSC Commodore 64, but it will be interesting to find that out from our US friends and Canadian friends. Mm. That actually would be good. And I know there's a few people on Twitter that actually are big fans of the Commodore 64 from the US, so I'll definitely hit them up and actually ask about that. Obviously, it had 64K RAM, which at the time was just wow. The VIC-2 graphics chip, which had a 320x200, 16 colors, sprites, and a raster interrupt. That came in, actually had multiple chip numbers, like 65, 67, and 65, 69 PAL VIC-2 chip. Obviously, the sound interface device, the SID 6581, and later the 8580, with three oscillators, four-wave filter, ADSR ring. And then you had the interfaces, you had your RF, you had your cartridge port, you had the floppy printer, IEEE interfaces, the joysticks, joystick ports.
There's also a video output.
Yeah, that's right. So you can actually connect it up AV. Yeah, that's right. So, as I said, it was the VIC-20 did really, really well for Commodore, and the Commodore 64 just absolutely, sent them off to the stratosphere in regard to sales. And apparently Sam Trammell, Jack's son, in a 1989 interview after they left Commodore when they were at Atari, said that they were actually making 400,000 Commodore 64s a month for two years.
Wow.
Now, that is some serious, serious output. And look, they actually, so it's in the Guinness Book of Records for, the highest selling single computer model of all time.
Now, Mark might be able to answer this. Is that still more than the PlayStation 2?
How many units?
Oh, dude, PlayStation 2 did 150 million. So if we're talking consoles, the Commodore 64 pales, right? Because even the NES sold more. But if we're talking computers, micros, right? Of any kind, of any bits, 8, 16, whatever, Commodore 64 has blown them all away, right? So Atari 8-bit, Amiga 16-bit, ST, anything that came, the Archimedes, the Acorns, whatever, none of them got anywhere near the
even the apples.
Yeah, that's right. Even the apples. Oh, wow. Yeah. But we're talking about a single model. I mean, if you add up all the Apple 2E, 2C, whatever. But a single model, no one came anywhere near the Commodore 64. So, yeah. I mean, 33 years down the track after it was released, we're still talking about it. We still love it. And look, it was discontinued in 1994. So that's a, over almost 12-year run. That's just amazing.
It's unheard of.
It is. And look, and I know BBC Micro, the ZX Spectrum, and the Amstrad, were its main competition, throwing the Atari 8-bits as well. But at the end of the day, Commodore 64 ruled the roost. It was just easily accessible. It was at a right price. It was marketed quite well. Because I don't actually remember seeing ZX Spectrums. I think I've said that in the previous podcast. I never saw them. Amstrad, I definitely did. But Commodore 64 with those John Laws, are you keeping up with the Commodore commercial jingles? They were just all over the TV. Kids had them. That's how I got introduced. I saw it at my neighbor's place playing Decathlon, and I just went, wow, I want this, even though it took probably a couple of years after that to get one, but it was well worth the wait. Love it. I love the Commodore 64.
Mm. Well, that's a nice description there.
Oh, thank you. Oh, thank you very much. Well, look, someone might actually interject and say, "Oh no, you got something wrong." Well, if I did, I'm really, really sorry. I try to keep it as high level as possible. But I would say read Brian Bagnall's book if you want the nitty gritty of how the Commodore 64 came to be. But the fact that it was designed, created within a month, I can't even think of anyone doing that these days. People would laugh at you.
Right. No, you're right. Yeah. It's insane.
It is insane. But actually, before we get on to our first introduction and love of the Commodore 64, can I just ask really quickly between the two of you, do you prefer the bread bin or the C version?
I like the C.
Mark, sorry.
Yeah, I'm the same. I prefer the C version as well.
You know what? Up until a few years ago, I would have said the C for sure, but the bread bin,
No, I don't like the colour. I reckon it's ugly.
You're right. And I remember at the time when I got the Commodore 64, I was so wrapped that my parents actually bought the C version because they were phasing out the bread bins just when the Cs were coming out. And I didn't know because it was a surprise when they bought it for me. But I was quite happy to see the Commodore 64 America's Cup Family Pack Edition on my bed. Back in 19, oh geez, I always get this wrong. It was either at the end of 86 or the start of 87. It might have been in the end of 86, but yeah, the bread bin I really, really love. Now, back then it was like, ugh, yuck, it's brown.
Poos.
Yeah, it is.
It's poos.
Yeah, you know how kids are. Yeah, yeah, you're going to tease about it. And first interaction or experience with the Commodore 64, I reckon we go straight to Mr. Kassar, give our special guest the honour.
Yeah. Well, we actually did speak about this when he did come on, so it's a rinse and repeat. So,
yes.
Yeah, it's only fair. It's only fair some people obviously haven't heard our earlier ones. So,
you're the best.
Well, you know, because I'm a good guy.
Cool. Yeah. So you say. All right. So, well. To kind of actually go back, so very first interaction with the C64, so old primary school friend actually invited me around to his place, basically said, let's come around, hang out, and we'll play some games and stuff. And went there, he actually had the bread bin as well. And I think the first game he showed me from memory was World Games.
And grouse.
Yeah, absolutely fell in love with it.
Yeah.
Exactly, yeah. Absolutely fell in love with it. And left there and wanted one of my own. So pestered my parents for months and months and months, and finally talked my dad to going down to Myers, and he haggled and haggled and haggled the guy there, and then he came home with the Pro Pack and a shiny new TV. With the disc drive as well, and was in love straight away. And then it's funny because I remember distinctly being disappointed because I had the disc drive but I didn't have the tape deck. So for I think it was following birthday, I got some money given to me for birthday present, and so first thing I did was went out and bought a cassette deck for it as well. It wasn't the original though, it was a third party one.
Was the turbo one?
I think so, yeah. I think from... Sorry, Alex, go.
I was going to say, I can't believe that you went from a disk drive to tape. That's just blowing my mind. Now, if you told us that
exactly.
Last year, I don't recall that, but that's just... Dude,
you mean either? I don't recall it either.
So there we go. So it's not a rinse and repeat. That's
the reasoning for it, and it's so stupid when I think about it now, is because that same friend he had a tape deck as well, and I remember him showing me some cassette decks. Cassette games, and I pirated, of course. And I remember him bringing out this massive list, with the when we had to go by the time on, the counter.
Yeah, by the
counter, and like, yep, fast forward to this point and then load it up and blah blah blah, and I'm like, man, you can have that many games on one tape. Yeah, I want one of these for sure. And yeah, so I went and bought one of those for myself, and I probably probably barely used it. Actually, I did have one original game on that thing. I think the first game that I bought on that was Shinobi from memory on tape, not on disc. Mm. And then ended up actually, thankfully, getting the disc version later. But yeah, I think I said this last time, but the way I managed to get my parents, convince my parents to buy the system for me was basically giving them the bullshit excuse that I was going to be using it for homework and for school, which...
That's the best excuse ever.
Yeah. And my dad, he brought that up probably for the next 15 years. I never heard the end of it. Like, yeah, I still remember how much you use that for school, so... Yeah, but that was my introduction, and it was a pretty awesome one of that.
Yeah, great. Do you still have it, Mark? Your original?
No. When I moved to the US for a couple of years, because originally I wasn't supposed to be coming back home. I was going to be living there permanently. So my mum, not knowing any better, just threw out my C64 and all my gaming magazines and everything like that. So,
but yeah. hey, I end up getting you one.
Yeah, you did. Yeah,
I'm a good bloke. See, Alex, I'm on all right, guy.
Dude, hey, I didn't say you weren't a good guy. But where's my Commodore 64? Come on, man.
Haven't you got like 10?
Ah, oh, shut up, bastard.
I've only got two, so
that's beside the point. Come on, man.
Yeah, I guess. I'll give you something.
Uh-oh. Don't go Sackgate, please.
Hashtag Sackgate, Alex.
Oh, man. Yeah, okay. Go, tweet that. Tweet that right now.
He'll probably still get it wrong.
Yeah. Oh, he's a nasty pasties.
We are. So, Daz, I know you've told us the story, but please.
Rinse and repeat, shall I?
Rinse and repeat, mate.
Rinse and repeat. Okay, well, I'll be quick. Quick story, was at the local Toy World, and I was crying for an Atari game. I was with my mum, saying I want that. I think it was Desert Fox. I can't remember what it was. Desert Fox or something. It's got the Eagle on the Atari 2600 game. And I cried and cried. She said, no, 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 no. Went home. Then I ran away from home. I didn't come back for about 2 hours, so it was about dinner time, so I thought I'd better go home before my parents get angry.
Where did you actually go in between?
I just went to visit my friend Tony down the road.
How old were you, dude? How old were you?
10 maybe.
Now, if your son did that, what would you do?
I would absolutely rip him to pieces.
Sorry, man.
But it was different in the 80s, man. It was different.
It's a different time, yeah.
It is. Yeah, I'd kick his ass. Now,
go on, man. Sorry,
I know how rude Mark. Yeah,
Mark, don't answer that.
he's a bastard. Anyway, okay. Yeah, I walked in the house. My parents ignoring me. Go towards my bedroom. My sister grabs me and she goes, "Do not do it. Don't do it. Don't go in your room." And she's just overacting about. And I was just in the shits. I'm going, "Leave me alone." Went into my room and I see the Pro Pack sitting on the bed. With the disc drive and everything, and I was like, wow. And then my sister's like, how come you bought him that? I felt sorry for him. Because of that Atari game. So, yeah, that's how I got mine. Then my parents got me a TV, put it in there, and...
this guy! Yeah. Bloody hell! But, Pro Pack with a disc drive, a TV. Mate, I had to use my parents' UHF TV, and I had to actually... You know, wait for, you know, when it wasn't used and then tune it in and then untune it afterwards.
Yeah. Mom, Dad, can I use the TV? No, Alex. No.
Well, they didn't have a Maltese accent, but yes.
I don't know what that was. I don't know what it was.
But that's all right. No. Look, my parents were actually quite good about that. But sorry, Daz, finish your story.
Yeah,
man.
Yeah. Yeah, but I was so happy to get, like, I mean, I was so happy with it. And to get that Pro Pack disc pack, I think it had like 30 games on it, or 20 games. Mark remembers it. It was just a yellow slip with a disc, and I would play the hell out of five-a-side soccer. It was brilliant. Did you ever play that one, Alex?
No. And I know you've actually said this to me before. No, I haven't.
It's fantastic. I'm looking forward to
it because I love my soccer games or football games. So
yeah, it had speech and everything. It was unreal. But, yeah, I mean, I think the happiest I ever got is when... because that wasn't my first experience. That's how I got mine. My first experience was at a friend's house in primary school, and I went to his house, and he had the Atari, and he goes, "Oh, you're going to play the Commodore 64? I go, "Yeah, okay." I didn't know what it was. And the first game I played was Back to Reality by Mastertronic. I think we've discussed this before, Alex.
That is the first game I ever bought for it, but yes, go on.
And I saw this, I go, "Wow, Atari can't do this. This is amazing." I play it now. It's the biggest hunk of shit I've played in a long time.
It is. It's a shit game.
It's horrible. But, it's funny. I play it, and it's shit, but when I... when I go back to my memories, it was amazing.
Nostalgia, dude.
And then I was exposed to it at Mark's house playing Wonder Boy, and that was it. I fell in love with it. And that's,
how good was Wonder Boy on it?
Yeah, it was great. It was great. And I've always said this: Mark made me the happiest kid in the whole world when I rocked up at home, and my mum goes, Mark's mum was here. She dropped off a game for you." And Mark burnt me a copy of Bubble Bubble, and that was just amazing. And probably one of the lowest was playing Double Dragon, but we should get into that later.
We will. Yeah.
Well, that's me. That's my experience.
Well, I'll keep mine short as well. Like I said before, my first experience was going over my neighbour's place and. Seeing him, he had a bread bin Commodore 64, so this is probably, might have been 83. He had Decathlon, was 83? Well, whenever Decathlon came out, and...
I think it was 84.
So it was 84 then. And I just remember seeing the graphics, and again, like you, Daz, even though I wanted the Atari 2600, right, when I saw the Commodore, I just went, wow. But I always thought, well, this will probably be more expensive, so I better just, ask for an Atari, which I never got. But watching him play Decathlon, and then when he gave me a shot with the waggling, I was like, wow, and the graphics just blew me away. I mean, and you know what? To this day, that game is actually still quite good.
It lives up to today.
Absolutely. I mean, I broke a shit ton of joysticks, but, mate, I had fun breaking joysticks with that game and others as well. But, that was my first interaction or experience with the Commodore 64. A few years later, my parents surprised me. They went to Meijer and paid $5.99 for the America's Cup Family Pack Edition. It came with the data set, the two brown joysticks. I can't remember the actual, I think they're C1432s, which are shit. And it came with Arnie Armchair's America's Cup Challenge and Arnie Armchair's How's Our Cricket on tape. And America's Cup is still to this day the longest game to load, 48 minutes.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Did Wizard of War? No, it wasn't Wizard of War. Le Mans came with it, and also International Soccer. So they were both on cart, and I got the paddles. And I remember playing Le Mans with the paddles. I'm thinking, oh, my God, how good is this? I've got a steering wheel playing a game. It just totally blew me away. Excuse me. And obviously, the first thing you see the magazines, and you go, "Oh, I want this game." And after your parents have dropped that much money, the last thing they're going to do is buy you more games. So they were like, "Well, you play with the games that you've got." So I play the heck out of those four games. Absolutely loved them. And then obviously the whole piracy thing started at school, and we would go around to a friend's place on a Saturday morning and dub the actual tapes. And again, look at the counters and make sure I can fit more than one game on a tape. And amazing stuff, man. And then the disc drive came 2 years later, again, begging for one. And that was $299. So yeah, man, that was from Footscray Kmart.
Oh, wow. remembers. It's funny he's got yours from Meijer. I mean, I got mine from St. Albans Entertainment Centre in St. Albans.
Oh, they were a rip-off, man.
I don't know. My parents bought it, so I didn't give a rat's ass.
Oh, come on, dude.
What, are you saying that would be more expensive than Myers? Oh, really?
Actually, yeah, you're right. Okay, I'll take it back. Sorry.
Yeah, but yeah. Daz, mate, you're underestimating the Maltese factor. Like, my dad haggled the shit out of that, man.
Yeah, like, I guarantee you.
I guarantee you he probably would have gotten to either throw in the TV or throw in something. There was no way he was walking out of that store paying full price for that.
He probably paid less than what the tape version was.
Probably, yeah.
No, that's fantastic, man. Oh, I hope he did. Oh, man, that would have been fantastic.
Nah, they're cool stories.
Yeah. Yeah, man.
Nostalgia runs through our veins.
Absolutely, man. Absolutely. So, I don't know, where does that lead us to our top
five? I reckon we should
top five
great games and top five our best games and our top five worst. But I reckon we should go quick.
I reckon
we do our worst as well. What do you think?
Yeah, sounds good, man. I was going to cheat and give you my top 15 because I couldn't actually break it up into five. But
five, mate. Come on, mate.
F you.
Oh, that's nasty.
It's nasty.
It is.
It is. Oh, even if Mr. Kassa says it's nasty, it's nasty. Right.
It is. Come
Scratch
on,
that. Rewind, press play.
On tape.
Or press record on tape, yeah.
Yeah.
Sorry, mate.
Who wants to go first?
Should we toss?
What, on my sack?
Oh, God.
All right, it's come up heads. you go first, Daz. Go.
I'll go first. Oh, shit. Okay. This is a hard one. Okay, well, all right, top five. Funny enough, it's probably most of them going to be System 3 games, but Myth. I'm going to cheat and do the Last Ninja series as a whole. I think that's fair, don't you think?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Okay, so that's two. Shinobi, obviously. Creatures 2. And one more. Wow, this is hard.
Oh, dude, if you got a few extra ones, just throw them in, man. It's all right. I'll allow it. Yes.
Okay. Okay. Hammer Fist. Number 5. And a Turrican series. Oh, look, I could go on. Yeah, but yeah, those. My worst.
Ooh, nice car.
Yeah, you like that? This is Mike, man. Hang awesome. On.
That was a Commodore 64, wasn't it?
I just turned it on.
Was that Stunt Car Racer?
No, I just turned it on because it's so... it's a beast.
It's so powerful, mate. It's a V.
Yeah, bro. okay, worst games. Wow, where do I start? Okay, Double Dragon, obviously.
Oh, dude.
You know what? I really can't stand... A lot of people like it. Is Fire Trap. Did you just play that?
No. Never played.
It was an arcade port. I hated it. Completely hated it. Final Fight is a disaster. Ninja Warriors as well. Not Ninja Warriors, sorry. That was actually great. Shadow Warriors. Absolute shit. Yeah. Yeah. Absolute shit. I was so upset when I grabbed that one. Wow. Okay. There's one game that I know sells for a fair bit on eBay. And sell is probably the wrong word. It's up for sale. I don't think it hasn't sold yet. But someone's got a complete version of a game called Caverns of Kafka, which is absolute... It's horrible. It's absolutely horrible. And funny enough, I have like a complete mint version of it that I've... You know, Alex, it's one of those games I bought randomly that I've just kept. And
yeah, yep.
And supposedly, it's very, very rare. But unfortunately, it's horrible.
So it's rare and shit.
Yeah, it's both. But yeah, seriously, if someone was to offer me good money for it, I wouldn't even hesitate getting rid of it. Because it has no nostalgia value to me whatsoever. Besides me buying it, and I've still got the receipt in the box from back in the day. But,
wow.
Yeah. I actually kept all my receipts. It's funny, because I look through my original boxes, and I've got the Ocean zip bags and stuff.
Oh, yes,
and
So have I, yes. That's great.
It's really cool to have them. The posters are in there, all minty, fresh, and it's cool. But, okay. All right, can we go Alex now?
Ooh. Jeez, controversial.
Controversial.
Yeah, look, man, I'll start off with International Karate Plus. God, I love that game. For the Commodore 64, obviously. Another one, Emlyn Hughes International Soccer, right? Mm-hmm. With MicroProse or MicroSoccer. I couldn't actually split them because I played the absolute heck out of both those games. It was a Friday night delight with my cousin coming over playing those games. Leaderboard Golf was up there as well.
That's great.
Yeah, it is. I mean, world-class and leaderboard, I love them both equally. Bubble, goes without saying, and Ikari Warriors. However, the PAL version of Ikari Warriors, not the shitty NTSC American version, which was absolute shit.
I never played that one.
Yeah, there you go. So, now look, I can, I've actually got a larger list, would you believe, but, and I'm so tempted to just say a few more, but I won't, unless you allow it, Daz.
Okay, throw in a few more, okay.
Impossible Mission, Wizard of War, Buggy Boy, Green Beret, Operation Wolf, Run the Gauntlet, and I absolutely adore the game series, like the Summer, Winter, World Games, California Games. Absolutely love those. I really, really loved Thunderblade.
Really?
Yeah, I really, really did. Oh. Yeah, I don't know why, I just did.
Music was great, but... Mm.
Look, obviously it's not going to be a perfect arcade port, right?
Controversial.
But I thought it was actually good. Well, there we go, controversial. And and Stunt Car Racer, man. You know what?
Yeah.
Stunt Car Racer is brilliant. It's actually brilliant on the 16-bit machines too. But the sound, I'm sorry, Amiga and ST, the 64 has the meaty, chunky car sound that I love. It's just...
Really?
Oh, yeah, absolutely, man. It shits all over the Amiga and the ST. You put them side by side and you listen to the sound, the Amiga and ST sound tinny, whereas the SID chip just pumps out this nice, beefy, like scary sound motor.
So
there we go, man. And there's also a ton of Ocean Games movie tones that I like and dislike, but I won't go into those. But with my dislikes, first and foremost, Double Dragon, you broke my heart in 1989, right? And I'll never forgive you for that. Street Fighter was an absolute shambles.
What, one or two?
One.
I liked it.
Oh, dear God. Okay.
I finished it. I liked it.
The other one, Hard Driving.
Now, that wasn't even playable.
It wasn't. It was like a floating bed that that went about 1K an hour. It was just a shambles.
I actually saw a YouTube video, someone running on a super CPU. Have you heard of that?
Oh, no. Does it actually run at 10Ks an hour then, does it?
It actually, it's actually like a, it replaces the processor with a beefier one in the Commodore 64.
Ah.
And the game actually runs really well with it.
Ooh, I like the sound of that.
Yeah, I'll forward you a video and you'll be quite surprised.
Oh, please do, because Hard Driving has to be probably the biggest pile of shit on the Commodore 64. And right next to that is Ninja Master, which was one of those $9.99 tapes that I bought with Back to Reality. So even Back to Reality didn't make that list, but Ninja Master has to. It was just, a one-dimensional game. It was just, you play for 5 minutes and never play it again. It was that good.
Is that it with your bad ones?
Yeah, that's it, man. Yeah. I'm done.
You're done. Mark?
All right, cool. God, I've got a little sticky thing that I wrote like five, and then I just started jotting down a ton more. And high five to Alex because he's ticked off a few of these as well. So I've got down here Run the Gauntlet. This one especially for the multiplayer fun that we had with this, my friends and I. Double Dragon 2 more than made up for the terrible port of the first one.
Yeah, I agree.
Shinobi Target Renegade. Target Renegade, I fell in love with that game because Double Dragon was so disappointing and I needed that fix and got it through that. MicroSoccer, that the original and the indoor version both were pretty awesome. Last Ninja, obviously, favorite of the bunch is Last Ninja 2. International Karate Plus, Ikari Warriors, Bomb Jack, Test Drive 2, The Jewel. Even just to hear Accolade Presents. Ninja Spirit.
That was looks a great like port. Shit. Nah, it was
looks
great.
Like shit. Looks like shit, but plays awesome. Really, really good. Like, the sprite was tiny, man, but
okay, it was a great game. I'll have to look at screenshots again, because I remember it looking great, so...
Yeah, yeah. And last one I've got down here is Bangkok Knights as well. That was a great game. Loved it.
Good game.
Worst games, it's going to be three for three with Double Dragon. That was so disappointing. That's probably my worst gaming experience of all time, like without a doubt. Being so hyped for it, my dad taking me to go and buy it, and then coming back and the look on my face when I first played it, I walked out, my mom was like, "What's wrong?" I was like, "It's so bad." And then my brother had seen it. My brother's not a gamer, right? But Double Dragon is his favorite game. The only game he actually loved to play, that and Chase HQ. He saw it and he was like, "Yeah, nah, that's shit." So if he could recognize that it's crap, yeah, man, it is crap.
It's shit, yeah.
Look, even the programmers apologized in the actual manual.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. I persevered and finished that game though.
Oh no, Daz.
Yeah, I did, and I pretended to like it.
Oh my! No, I tried to pretend. I couldn't.
Yeah, I finished it, but I didn't pretend, man. Turd is a turd by any other name. So
I can't believe you guys persisted. No, man, I actually wanted to put pins in my eyes. It was that bad. It was a shambles, mate. Shambolic.
Yeah, absolutely horrible. Some of the others, like Daz mentioned, Street Fighter 2 was terrible. I didn't mind the first one. I actually loved it. Final Fight, again, games that really had no business being ported to the C64.
True.
those three are the main ones, man. Off the top of my head, I'm sure there's a ton of games. Even on that pro, the disc that came with the pro pack, I remember most of those being pretty damn terrible, but you had a couple of standouts on there as well. But those are probably the worst ones that I can remember off the top of my head anyway.
Cool. All right, we'll go on to our next topic. That was quite a good convo there. I enjoyed that.
Yeah, I thought we were going to go to the walls, to the social media walls.
Yes, because we're running out of time, man.
Yeah, we are, man. We are, and we're going to get to the publisher of choice after this. So, be my guest, Daz.
I'll go first.
Yeah, go for it.
There ain't that many. I think there's only two answers all up. Come on, Facebook.
Come on, Facebook. Twitter. Yes, Twitter wins.
come on, Facebook. Okay, Graham W. Wopke. I am going to be leaving out so many great games here, but I will say Lode Runner, Impossible Mission, Whizball, Armalite. I always forget that game. And Into the Eagle's Nest. Edit. My sister, who looked over my shoulder, says her top five is better. That is cool. Lode Runner, Henry's House, Boulder Dash, Gauntlet, and Crystal Castles. Gauntlet was actually good. Actually, yeah. I'll give him that. And I think that was it. I can't remember if there was any more. Let me just check the RD wall.
Oh, Daz, you're not prepared, mate.
No, because I thought there was two, but I can't see any more.
Dude, we're on a time here, mate.
I know, huh? Yeah, it's very unprofessional.
Oh, terrible.
Yeah, that's it. Thanks, Graham.
Well done, Graham. I miss Graham on Twitter. He's not on Twitter. Hasn't been on Twitter for a long, long time. So
Facebook's better.
Okay. All right. We'll leave it at that.
Yeah.
And now we go to the champion social media platform, Twitter. Straight off, the first cab off the rank is Excalibur. He says, Pool of Radiance, Legacy of the Ancients, Talengard, Bard's Tale 3, Movie Mogul, Iridium 2, Krillion, and Boulder Dash. Oh, I'm glad they're actually saying games that we didn't actually save in our lists. Mark Bell says Last Ninja 1, 2, 3, and Remix. Turrican 2, Archon, Vampire. Now, I don't know what Vampire is. I don't know if you guys have heard of Vampire before.
Yes, that's a Codemasters game from memory. It's actually pretty good.
Well, there we go. Master of Magic, IK Plus, Might and Magic 2, and he says, plus many more. Rob Caporetto, hey Rob, he's saying this is a tough one, but he's gone with Paradroid, Stunt Car Racer, and Salamander. Ooh, what a great shoot 'em up that is.
Yeah, they did good.
Absolutely, man. Aaron C, Blah Jedi, Midnight Resistance, that was a great arcade port.
Yes.
Ancient Armor of Antiriad, IK Plus, Impossible Mission, and Commando. And freaking bloody Frankie. He starts off with impossible to list! Exclamation mark. So I'll just list some obscure games I've played to death. Shogun, Mr. Angry, Big Mac, Cops and Robbers. Frankie, you've just blown my mind, man. I don't think I've even heard of or played any of those games, and you're probably freaking out going, what the F is this guy on? He calls himself a retro gamer. Yes, I am. Yes, I do. And I've never heard of those games.
I've heard of all of them, mate.
Oh, Dads.
No, I haven't. I
could have spun shit and gone, oh, yeah, I know these games.
Cops and Robbers does actually sound familiar, which I'm just going to look at the screenshots. And yes, I did play Cops and Robbers, but that was the only one.
Huh.
Yeah.
Cameron Davis, Gazunta from Brizzy. He's saying, here's a fun science fact. Any answer that isn't whizball is just wrong. Very, very clever. Anthony Stiller, hey, Ant. We miss you, mate. Elite, of course. PSI 5 Trading Company. What's that?
No idea.
PSI 5 Trading Company. Oh, wow. I'm embarrassed. Beachhead. Yeah, that was a classic.
Yep.
Ghostbusters. Yeah. Braybrook's Morpheus. Brilliant. Minter's Matrix. Walker's Citadel. Yeah. Yeah. But Walker's Citadel was amazing. Amazing game. Extent of the Jam. Louis Gorenfeld. Sorry if I butchered your name. Paradroid. Airborne Ranger. Oh, yeah. Microprose. Iridium. Speed Buggy, which, oh, okay. That was Buggy Boy, but it was called Speed Buggy in the US. Realm of Impossibility. Commando and Impossible Mission. I'm glad Impossible Mission's getting love. And he says, I also can't forget Skate or Die. Absolutely. I'm ashamed that none of us actually brought that one up.
Oh, my
yeah,
God.
Yeah, that was yeah. Mark's, one of Mark's favorites, actually.
Jeez, I can't believe I completely forgot it.
Now, Mark, when you heard the music for the first time, did you just go, what the?
Yeah.
It was.
Everything about that game. The dude with the mohawk, yeah. Being able to skate in pools, like, oh, now, man, that was such a great game.
Now, the guy that was in that store that you bought stuff, well, he looked like Rodney Dangerfield.
Yeah,
Rodney
Dangerfield. Yeah. I'm pretty sure it's based off him.
Okay, all right. Yeah. So he says, my favorite multi-sports game, yep, sorry, Skate or Die. Stunt Car Racer is a contender too, and Seven Cities. Ooh, there's an obscure one.
Yeah, I never heard of that one.
No. Then we've got Aaron White, and he says, Batman the Movie, Platoon. Mm-hmm. The Untouchables, mm-hmm. Power Drift, mm-hmm. and Salamander.
Well, mate, all five, spot on.
Yeah. Sean Tag, or Tagstar, has gone for Whizball, California Games, Bubble Bobble, Last Ninja, IK Plus, and Stunt Car Racer. Absolute classics. And last but not least, Owis Eucalypt says Whizball. I still love that game. Now, that's a perfect way to end that because, these games have actually aged quite well. Don't you reckon?
They have. Especially Untouchables, you know. That's one I keep forgetting about. And that's a fantastic game.
It is. And again, those movie tie-ins, I know some of them were shockers, but most of them were actually on the mark. So Ocean did a great job.
Yeah. Especially Hudson Hawk. I loved it.
Hudson Hawk?
Yeah, loved it.
What?
You never played Hudson Hawk?
Far out. Oh, man, I'll have to look at some screenshots. I really can't remember, Daz.
That was a great, great platformer. Really damn. Good.
Damn.
Yeah, Blues Brothers. That wasn't Ocean, though.
Now, I know you guys said Final Fight, which leads us to the publisher of choice, which was...
US Gold.
Woohoo! Good old US Gold.
That was my choice.
It was your choice, man. It was your choice. It was actually founded in the UK, Birmingham, in 1984 by Jeff and Anne Brown. And basically they set it up, right, so as part of a software distribution company under Centresoft. And its primary purpose was to republish popular American computer games. So they were very, very clever that they thought, well, we'll actually go to the States and publish their games in the UK and Europe. And that's how that began back in 1984, US Gold. Plenty of games. I know they were huge with Epic's games. So all the game series were actually published out of the US by US Gold, would you believe? And also Capcom games, including the ill-fated Final Fight, mm-hmm. and Street Fighter, which you guys like, but I think it's a sticking turd. but look, man, I'll actually go straight to my top US Gold games, if you don't mind.
I don't mind you, because you won't say what we like, because you've got bad taste.
Ah, right, okay.
You like that?
Yeah. You're a. See, you're a monster.
I am. I'm sorry, man. I'm sorry,
bastard. first and foremost, Forgotten Worlds, man.
Really?
Love that. Yeah. Oh, you didn't like it?
Look, I think it looked great, but the controls sucked.
Right. Okay. Well, I liked it. Drop Zone, another classic. Mm-hmm. Black Tiger.
Yeah, I like that. Yeah.
Black Tiger.
That was one of mine.
A really, really old one, Metro Cross, which I remember when I first played it, I thought it was shit. But as I actually got into it, you know, when you replay a game, it actually wears you down. And I thought, well, I actually like this now. Rolling Thunder. I was actually tossing up between 720 or Rolling Thunder and Gauntlet 2. Well, maybe I should have put Gauntlet 2 there instead. Mm. And rounding off is, and I know people are going to go, what the hell is this guy on, is Arnie's America's Cup Challenge, the 1986 release. They actually published it under the US Gold banner.
That was my favourite.
Bullshit.
Yeah, bullshit.
Yeah, I know people don't like the game.
I've never played it, so...
Yeah, look, it's obviously a sailing game, and it is very, very long. It takes a long time to load. I don't even know if it came out on disc, but on tape, as I said, it took 48 minutes. And, I think I liked it at the time because the America's Cup, we had won in 1982 for the first time in 132 years. Someone beat the Americans. And then in 1987, Australia had the America's Cup in Fremantle, WA. And that's why, and I really, really got hooked on it. And I think that's why I like the game. But it is tough going. Like, to finish one game takes hours. All right, so it's not like a 5-minute thing. It takes almost an hour to load, and then probably an hour and a half to actually play the game. But they're my top US Gold games. The All American Software Publishing Company.
Yeah,
baby. Good choice, Daz. Good choice.
Okay, cool. All right, my top five. Okay, well, look, I'll go with Black Tiger as well. I thought it was great. It didn't look great, but it played great. And the music was awesome.
And that's all that matters.
Yeah, exactly. That's what's important. Got me thinking. It's really hard because they've got a lot of good games. Ghouls and Ghosts, probably the best one.
Yeah.
That was just amazing. I loved it. I actually like it more than the arcade version. Maybe because I grew up with it. You know what I mean?
That's good.
Okay, next one would probably have to be Roblasters, which I think is an excellent arcade port.
Well done, Daz. Yep.
Very, very, very good. That's three, isn't it? Okay. Maybe I shouldn't be so fussy. Jeez. Look, I played the hell out of Spy Hunter.
Ah.
I thought that was great. Turbo Outrun, brilliant.
Yes.
Absolutely brilliant. You know, even the original Outrun, I think it's great.
Yeah, yeah.
The music's just freaking unbelievable.
Yeah, the music's just, yeah.
Mm. Solomon's Key, I liked a lot.
Wow.
Yeah, I thought that was great. And, I despise Rolling Thunder.
It was tough as nails, man. And obviously, I played that first before I played at the arcade. And when I did see it at the arcade, yeah, obviously, the Commodore 64 version is nowhere near it. But at the time, I thought, you know, walking in and out of rooms, shooting baddies, my kind of game.
Let me think. Was Lead Storm US Gold?
Ah, that's a very good question.
Because I loved that game.
Yeah, LED Storm, and the music on that, Tim
Foley. Nah, it was published by Go. No.
Oh, right, okay.
So yeah. I remember it was Capcom, but yeah. Okay, look, special mention, Mark. Human Killing Machine.
I was about to say that.
Yeah. Loved it. Loved it.
Yeah.
It was a poor man's Street Fighter, but but it was done right.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, for the 64, it was done right. So, yeah. They're mine. Now, off to Mark.
Cool, man. Well, our lists are actually very, very similar. So, I've got down here Outrun, original one. I didn't get to play much of Turbo Outrun, unfortunately. So,
very good.
Black Tiger, Ghouls and Ghosts. Again, probably not a favorite over the arcade, but like Daz said, that was one that I grew up with. It was a really, really great port. Spy Hunter as well. And yeah, last but not least was Human Killing Machine. True story about that game was actually developed to be an unofficial sequel to Street Fighter on the C64.
Oh, wow.
Same from memory, the team that ported the original Street Fighter developed that game.
Oh, wow.
Oh, that's cool.
That I didn't know. Daz, did you ever play Crackdown?
That was okay.
On the 64. And you went, how about Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade?
Not bad.
Mercs?
No, I didn't touch it. It just looked too ugly for me to even bother getting it.
And how about Roadrunner?
I liked it. That was fun, actually.
Oh, yeah. Roadrunner was cool.
I actually personally think it's the best version I've played. I've played the Amiga one. I've seen gameplay of the ST. It looked horrible. The Amstrad one wasn't great. And a lot of reviewers say the 64 version is the best one.
Yeah, no, I remember, I think Zap, or might have been CMVG, gave it like a hit, a Zap Gold. Now, I might be wrong, but I'm pretty sure, the reviewers absolutely loved it. And being a fan of the cartoon, I thought, how good can this game be? But it actually looks quite good, and it's actually quite playable. So.
It does. You know what I noticed, quickly, before we wrap this up? I noticed that the later releases on US Gold, especially with the arcade ports, they loved using the color brown.
The pimp color.
They used it on everything. Like brown and gray. It's like, really?
Yeah. And just before I forget, they also re-released, reissued games under their Kix label, KIXX.
Oh, that's right, yeah.
Or the budget label. So, each publishing company had that. So that was US Gold.
That's it. And so we're done.
We are. Can you believe it, Daz?
I know, huh? How's that, done, mate? Timing's perfect, too.
Done, diddly done.
Diddly do do done, done, sack.
Oh, so on that note, just pull the plug, man. Just pull the plug.
What, my butt plug?
Oh,
God.
Okay.
Oh dear.
Why are you so dirty, Alex? Why are you throwing all these innuendos?
Because I know that you're the culprit. You actually are throwing it on purpose.
Yeah, I think I better calm down. Otherwise, we're going to have to get to an explicit rating soon.
Oh yeah, man. Got to keep it
clean,
PG, man.
Yeah. Okay, guys, well, this is the end. My only friend, the end.
No!
Yes. So we made it. This is our first episode for the year. So, yeah. That was quite fun. And I hate it. It goes so quick.
It does go quick. But you know what? It's nice and quick, and you can get on with the rest of your day.
That's
after
left.
You listen to this.
Hey, you know what? I'm going to edit and release it. How's that sound?
Wow.
Yeah. So we'll see what we can do. We'll see what I can do.
You don't.
But before we finish up, let's go into our shout-outs. How's that sound?
Sounds good.
Yep.
Sounds good.
Okay. Would you like to shout out on behalf of us, Alex? Do you have anyone in mind?
Oh, Daz, you always do the shout-outs beautifully, man. Of course, I'm going to shout out to you, but you put it so succinctly. You go for it, man. I love everyone, but I love the way you say it.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, sweetheart. Oh. Okay, well, no, thanks, everyone. Thanks to the Twitter community. See, Twitter's not so bad. Thanks, guys, for contributing your answers. And thanks to the Facebook community. Thanks to the people who listen. We really appreciate it. And like I've said before, we We really appreciate you tuning in, and it just encourages us to make more.
Absolutely.
We do this in our spare time and because we enjoy it. And if no one listened, what's the point?
Absolutely.
I guess we still do it.
We're still having fun.
We just wouldn't record our conversation then. But yeah, thanks everyone for the support. Shout out, obviously, to the Oz Retro Gamer team, which is you and Miss Oz Retro Gamer. Shout out to the Retro Domination team and the Geekdom team.
Oh, yeah.
Say yes, nice. Thank you. And thanks to everyone, the gaming public, like I said, who supports us. And yeah, and also shout outs to the Console Domination team for your current gen needs as well. And you can find all those sites on Facebook, Twitter, and on Google. And if you want to download our podcast, you obviously have already downloaded it. That's why you're listening to it. But you can also download it from iTunes, Podbean, and some dodgy site in Germany or Sweden, which I seem to find our podcasts on.
What?
Yeah.
Whoa, mate. We've made it big.
Yeah, yeah.
Germany.
Yeah. I always find these sites, they take our RSS feeds and they just host it on their sites, which is fine. That's good.
Oh, I don't mind at all. That's actually quite cool.
Yeah.
Ooh, so we've gone underground. Ooh.
Exactly, yeah. There's a lot of Richard Domination ones there, actually. But I found our one there, too, hiding amongst the bushes.
Maybe a future episode on Cracktros and all the cracking teams, eh? If we can get someone on the show, imagine that.
Oh, the cracks. What do you stop it?
Oh, okay. We have to be legit. Oh, my God.
No.
Okay. That's it. Wrap it up.
Wrap it up. Okay, guys. Thanks for listening in. And until next time.
And thanks, Mark.
Thanks, Mark.
No worries, guys. Yes. Thank you, Mark. Guys.
You're all right.
Yeah, he's all right. He's all right.
Okay, I'm going to finish the podcast off with a cool track. Ooh. What could it be?
Ooh, I don't know.
I don't know either. I'll know when I edit the podcast.
Dun, dun, dun.
Enjoy, guys. Thank you.
Bye.
Bye.